All right, at this time, very quietly, the kids are dismissed for Asbury Church Kids. So if you want to quietly make your way over, Pastor Rachel has a whole bunch of fun stuff for you this morning. Now, everybody else, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. So this is a book in the New Testament. It's a letter by the Apostle Paul. And so if you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 6. We are in the midst of our series entitled A Better Tomorrow. How many here are hoping for a better tomorrow? Okay, a few of us. How many know that our lives may be good, but there's room for improvement? How many recognize that in our relationships, in our working, in our living, that there's growth that's possible in our lives to actually manifest more good in our lives? And as we began this, we recognized that it is the resurrection of Jesus that actually gives everyone the opportunity to experience a better tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I am incredibly grateful that my life does not have to be defined by my yesterdays. How many are grateful your life doesn't have to be defined by your yesterdays? How many got issues back there? All right, how many done stuff that you're just like not proud of? Things you don't like to share and you're like going, oh my goodness, I don't need that stuff walking with me and then limiting my life. But the grace of Jesus gives us the ability to actually experience a new and a better tomorrow. And so we've looked at a few different things. Last week, we talked about the idea of making something good, that what God does is that wherever there's chaos and wherever there's like brokenness, God in His grace works in and through those situations because His ultimate desire is to manifest His goodness in His creation. And I'm grateful that the salvation of Jesus not only rescues us from sin, but it gives us the power to experience good even out of the junk of our lives, and ultimately that not only our lives, but everything around us might be touched and transformed by His goodness. And so we have this confidence. God is working in creation to create something good. Well, this morning I want to talk about seeds of transformation. Okay, so where are all my green thumbs? How many of you like to garden? Where's my gardening people? Okay, how many of you like to get your hands dirty? You're like going, come on, you've been waiting for the weather to get a little warmer and less wet. But if you're a real gardener, you've already started. How many got your little seedlings going? See, look, you can tell who the gardeners are. Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. I love a good garden because, you know, a good garden, you end up with, like, you know, tomatoes and peppers. Because how many know that tomatoes in stores are just kind of eh? But today, tomatoes, fresh tomatoes from the garden, oh, my goodness, they're amazing. You know, you think about the tomatoes, the cucumbers, the corn, the potatoes. I love to garden. And it's the opportunity that with these green thumbs, you know, they're seeds, they're soil, and ultimately there's a dream because there's something that we want to enjoy or we want to share in. Now, some love gardening, other people not so much. Like your type of gardening is rock gardening, right? You can put them in the ground, and then they do their thing. You're like, this is good, right? So I found this story about gardening or farming that I thought was funny. I shared it at the Dryden campus and found out they had no humor. I got, oh my word, that's awful. And I'm like going, no, it's funny. And so I was like going, okay, was it okay or not? So I shared it with Rachel on the way over. And she's like, that's funny. And I'm like going, that's what I thought. So I'd like to share a joke with you this morning, a story, a small story. That is Rachel approved. So if anybody has any issue with it, you can take it up with Pastor Rachel. But Jake decides that he wants to start farming chickens. So he goes to the chicken farmer and buys 1,000 chicks. The next month, Jake goes back and buys 500 more. The following month, he goes to the chicken farmer again and buys another 500 chicks, at which point the chicken farmer comments, your chicken farm must be coming along well now. Yet Jake looks a little glum, and he replies, sadly, no. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. Either I'm planting them too deep or upside down or too close together. And we thought that was a good one. Yeah, if you have an issue, again, take it up with Pastor Rachel. But you know, when it comes to planting and gardening, you know, for some, there's a passion. For other people, like, what do I need to do with any of this? But I think that in pursuit of a better tomorrow, we actually have to be intentional about sowing seeds of transformation in our life. That we have to be intentional about the life that we live and sowing seeds that actually produce the harvest that we want. And again, no matter where you are, who you are, what you've been through, we again believe that because of Jesus, that we actually have a hope for a better tomorrow. And the idea that we're just going to think around this morning is this, is that a better tomorrow begins today. A better tomorrow begins today. Everybody say it with me. A better tomorrow begins today. Like, I hope this idea settles in your heart, because your tomorrow is connected to your today. So we're going to look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10 this morning. Now again, I mentioned Paul has written this letter to the churches in the province of Galatia. It is an area in Asia Minor, and there's a whole bunch of different cities, and there were problems that were beginning to crop up in that city. And the question that they were really wrestling with this is, how are we saved? Like, what is it that transforms our life? What is it that keeps us in right relationship with God? And their idea that began to float around these people was, you know what, I need to believe in Jesus, and I need to work hard, because if I work hard and believe in Jesus, then I'll be saved. And Paul is like, that's not how it works at all. And so actually, when he begins his letter, he comes in hot. He doesn't even start with like a whole greeting and like, it's so good to see you. How are you doing? I hope you're well. I'm praying good things for you. Instead, he comes straight out of the gate and he just lays into them and saying, guys, you are missing what the gospel is. The gospel is that the message of what Jesus has done for us, that because of what he has done on the cross, and that by putting our faith in him, our standing before God is changed, that we're saved, that there's nothing that we can add to the work of Jesus to put us in right relationship with God. Now, this is so important for us, that what it is that brings us freedom, that allows us to experience the life we are created for, ultimately rests in what Jesus has done for us. Now, for some people, they might get the idea then, well, if Jesus is who saves me, then there's nothing that I need to do. And Paul's like, I got to clarify this piece too. I want you to understand there's that which saves us, and then there's that which continues to allow the goodness of God to be manifest in our life. One is the work of Jesus, and the other is the work that we do in relationship and in participation with Jesus. And so he kind of lays out this thing, and so where we're getting to this morning is kind of about this outworking. The stuff we're going to share, that I'm going to share this morning, isn't about our salvation as much as it is for us. What is it that we need to do to begin to experience a better tomorrow? And so this is how the passage begins. In verse 7 and 8, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, it says this. This is great. Read along with me in your Bible, your phone, or up on the screens. It says this: do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Do not be deceived. Now, how many know that every once in a while, we all can be a little gullible, right? Did you know if you say orange slowly enough, it sounds like gullible? Some of you are trying it. Ooh. We all have aspects of our lives where we can be deceived. But not only can we be deceived by others, How many know sometimes we can deceive ourselves? Now, what does it mean to deceive? It means to believe something that really isn't true. To believe something that's not true, to believe something is real that really isn't real. And deception is something that can be done to us, but we can also do it to ourselves. And Paul's like, guys, listen. As he's writing all this stuff, he's like, guys, listen. Don't be deceived. Don't have this idea that actually runs up counter to what God has done. So he says, hey, guys, listen, God can't be mocked. He's the one who made this world. He's the one that has set different things in motion. And one of the things he set in motion is this, that a man reaps what he sows. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to note three things. The first is this, that our choices actually have an impact. Like the choices that we make impact our lives. Now, it goes on to say, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Now we know this. If you want apples, what do you sow? Apple seeds, right? Some of you are like going, what? Some of you are a little confused on that one. Okay, if you want tomatoes, what do you plant? Tomato seeds. If you want cucumbers, you plant cucumber seeds. Why? Because there's something about the seed that produces the thing. You can't plant an apple seed and have an expectation that you're going to get oranges. Like, how many of you, if you're like, well, you know, I love a good orange, and you put a pumpkin seed in the ground, how many know that they're both orange? But a pumpkin is not an orange. Can I get a witness on this one? Some of you are not sure. That orange juice you drink in the morning is not from pumpkins. You can squeeze it all you want, right? Because the seed, what you sow, is connected to what you reap. Now, Paul is, he's trying to tell the Galatian churches, guys, I want you to understand. So there's the stuff of our saving, that which Jesus does, but then there's this working out or living out this life in relationship with Jesus, and the choices that we are making are actually impacting the future we're experiencing. A man reaps what he sows. And that's why Paul says, listen, if you sow to please the flesh, from the flesh you will reap destruction. And just so you know, that word destruction there can also mean decay. Like the things that fall apart. When you sow in that direction, there's a natural harvest that takes place in the future. He goes on to say, if you sow to please the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. Because what we sow impacts what we experience. Now, as we continue to look at what Paul is writing here, we find out that really the seed that he is talking about is related around the idea of the choices that we make. How many know that every day we are making tons of choices? And the choices we make influence and impact what it is we experience. And one of the things that I have found that many times we do in our lives is we allow the emotional aspect of our life to influence the decisions that we're making. That there are times that there are the affections that we have, like the things that just kind of affect our lives, that there are things that we have appetites for. But sometimes it's the aspirations we have that there's an emotional component to them, and they begin to influence the decisions that we try and make. And again, this emotional stuff actually influenced the choices that we make. Now, I want to continue reading because I want to build on this idea a little bit more. So it says in verse 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let us not become weary. Everybody say weary. Okay, anybody here a little tired? Anybody here know what it's like to be tired? I mean, you know, the older you get, the tireder sometimes it feels like you're becoming. Like, oh my goodness, I'm tired. And we can get tired of all sorts of things. And that tiredness begins to influence the decisions that we make. That's why Paul's writing, hey guys, he says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. And so if the first thing I note is that our choices have impact, the second thing is this, is that our harvest is connected with our time and energy. Now, as Paul talks about this, he's trying to help us understand something that I think is so important when it comes to choices. Choices are more than just what our intentions are. They're really about our actions. How many of you have intended to do good things and then didn't do them? We measure our lives often by our intentions. Oh, yeah, I would love to do this. You know, yeah, I'm a little tired, but I really wanted to, but I was busy. Oh, I really wanted to, but you know what? Life kind of got away from me. And we measure ourselves by our intentions. Paul wants you to understand that the seeds that we sow are actually not our intentions, they're our actions. Because you can intend all sorts of good things in your life, but that does not mean you have sown a seed that is good. It's the action. Do not become weary in doing good. Do not become weary in intending good. Do not become weary in doing good. The reality is that sometimes we do allow the emotion to affect our decisions. And what happens is the emotion begins to hijack what we do. And how many know there's lots of emotions? How many of you here, like I asked, have been tired? You're like, I know about weariness. How many know about hunger? How many know people that become different people when they're hungry? How many of you have ever, you know, been angry? How many of you have said stuff when you're angry that you later wish you didn't say? Because what our emotion does, what our appetites desire is actually they want something now in the moment. And what ends up happening is whether we want it or not, sometimes we allow emotion to sit in the driver's seat of our life. How many here have ever driven angry? How many ever driven with someone who is driving angry? And all of a sudden you're like going, if you are the passenger in the car with someone driving angry, oh my goodness. It just adds more emotion, doesn't it? Okay, how many of you have ever driven scared or with someone who was scared? Around here we get these snows and it'll get all kind of blustery and snow will be on the road and some people are like white knuckling at 20 miles an hour in a 55. You're like, oh, good Lord. And you're behind them and you're like, ugh. And some people will drive at 40 and some people will drive at 95 because it doesn't matter, right? And what happens is often in our life, we allow emotion to sit in the driver's seat and allow the emotion then to begin to control how we act, how we interact, what we say, and what our attitudes are. And Paul's like, guys, listen, you have to understand that if you sow to these things, that what it's actually going to do is produce decay in your life. If all you're doing is responding in the now, you will sacrifice your future. So the writer to the Hebrews will tell the story again of Jacob and Esau. And he says, don't be like Esau, who sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. The bowl of soup is what I want now because I'm hungry. And because I'm hungry now, I will sacrifice my future. And I've watched over and over in people's lives how the tyranny of the emotion in the moment robs them of the future God has for them. Because we wrestle with all sorts of emotions. We wrestle with things like fear and anger, loneliness. We have all these things, and they begin to influence and impact the decisions that we make. And sometimes we squander the future because we're just trying to get what we want in the moment. This is why many of us, all of us, know what it means to have regrets. Because we were in that moment, and we said the thing we shouldn't have said, and we can't get it back. Or we were lonely, and so we got ourselves in this situation, and we wish we could get it back. Or we made this decision, and it tore apart a family. Because we were acting for the now, and we weren't mindful of what was down the road. And Paul's like, guys, listen, you're sowing seeds all the time, and some of the seed that you're sowing is actually destroying your future, yet there's seed that you can sow that I'll actually transform your future for better. You see, Paul says this, don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. You see, within this idea is this idea that there's this time and energy that when it comes to transformation, when it comes to sowing seed, there's something that we have to do through time. There's something that requires an energy that gets expended for the harvest that we want. Again, which is a little bit frustrating because sometimes what we want is the thing now. If you look at your life and mine, our lives are actually a reflection of the decisions that we have made. Now, it's true, there's lots of stuff in our life that we don't have control over that influences and impacts upon our life. Totally understand that. But our lives are really a reflection of the decisions that we've made and the habits that we've developed. And sometimes, you know, we experience the tension and the chaos, and we miss the better life simply because of what we have been sowing, not just in the past, but in our present. And if we're going to experience transformation, there's a change that has to happen that's going to require energy through time. And many times, this is like the breaking of habits, because we're all creatures of habits. Our brains, the way your brain is wired, your brain likes it easy. And this is why you do so many things the same way every day. Like you get up, you generally get dressed the same way, and you don't even think about it. You drive to work, and you're just like, "This is, I'm going to work," and you drive a certain path to work. You respond to events in certain ways because it's your pattern. And God says, listen, there's a change that needs to take place in your life. And in order to change the pattern, you have to do something that's not always easy. I mean, no, changing habits requires energy and time. And invariably, as we do that, we experience the tension. Because when you begin to change any habit in your life, you begin to feel a little off. Like you want, for fun, for those married people, just for fun, when you go to bed tonight, beat your spouse there and get in the opposite side of the bed. And lay there and try and go to sleep. And your body will go, wait, something's not right here. And your spouse will go, what is wrong with you? It's my side of the bed. We had that agreement, right? And what happens is you actually feel, and the people around you feel, something is off. And how do you resolve that dissonance? Well, the easiest way to resolve that dissonance is to go back to your side of the bed. Y'all with me on this one? Some of you are like going, I ain't trying that one. You already feel it. When I said try the other side of the bed, you felt that one right away. It creates a dissonance. The other way you can actually change the dissonance is to actually work through it through time. and then it'll become normal or more normalized. The problem is that dissonance often causes us to go back to the pattern that we had before. This is why changing habits is so difficult for humans. This is why choosing to do good doesn't always, we have the intention, the good intentions, I want to do this. But the moment we start, all of a sudden there's some dissonance that begins to arise, sometimes within us, sometimes within the people around us. And we're just like, it's easier to go back to where we were before. And our future doesn't change. This is why Paul says, don't become weary in doing good, for in the proper time. Everybody say proper time. In the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. It goes on to say this in verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So the first thing I noted was that our choices have impact. Our harvest is connected with our time and energy. And lastly, we must make the most of the opportunities that are given to us. How many know that every day is a gift? Getting up on this side of the grass is a gift of God to you. It doesn't always feel like it, but every day is a gift from God, and every day is an opportunity to begin to sow seeds that transform our tomorrows for the better. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good. And again, the good we do is the seed that's being planted. We see this in Paul. And this is why I say that a better tomorrow actually begins today. When I sow the seed, when I sow a seed, I'm actually shaping my future. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If it is true that a person will reap what they sow, then a better tomorrow begins today. See, I think all of us in our lives, we recognize there's good in our lives, but we recognize there's actually room for more good. That's the idea of better. We have relationships. Some of us were at different levels of relationships with the spouse. We're like going, yeah, some of you are like going, yeah, it's good, but you know there's more good. So when it comes to parenting your kids, some of you, you love your kids. And your parenting is like, it's going good. But you're like going, you know what? There's still a good, there's more good that I can do. Your job, your finances, you can say, yeah, it's good, but there's more good. And to begin to experience greater good in our life, we actually have to begin to sow good seed. So how do we begin to do this? First of all, we actually have to embrace a life of faith. Did you know that gardeners are believers? Did you know that? They're like optimists. They are believers. They believe that the little seed that they're putting in, and if you've done any gardening, you'll find seeds come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. But gardeners have a faith. If I put this in the ground and I tend it and I care for it and I do what's needed, then that seed will produce the harvest I want. They are incredibly deep people of faith. This is why so many illustrations, there's a cultural aspect, but there's also this aspect of faith being manifest through what we choose to sow. You see, gardeners are believers. They have faith in the seed. And they know that the seeds that they are sowing are shaping their future. In the same way, in our lives, the seeds we sow today, like when we believe what God's word says, because God's word is the seed, when we allow God's word to begin to do in our hearts what we need it to do, our confidence is this, that the seed that is sown will produce the harvest that was intended. You see, ultimately, what we are doing is we are working with the Creator to restore good. I don't even have to ask your agreement. I know you agree. Our world needs more good. Like, we all affirm that. Like, you can't help but watch what's going on the news or hearing from coworkers or just, like, wherever you go. Man, there is chaos all around, and you're like, oh, my goodness, we need more good. You know what the life of faith is? It's the recognition that, you know what, God has changed our lives through Jesus Christ, and He has put His Spirit within us, and that Spirit is a good Spirit. And as we partner with the good Spirit that is within us, the Holy Spirit, then what begins to manifest itself in our lives and in our environments is more good. So, seeds of transformation, we have to embrace a life of faith. Secondly, I think that if we're going to experience more good, if we're going to plant seeds of transformation, we actually have to plan our gardens. Let me ask you, what fruit do you want manifest in your life? What fruit? Now, it's interesting because Paul, just a few verses before, will say this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. How many of us think, you know what, boy, our lives, boy, wouldn't it be great to have a harvest of more love in our lives? How many think that'd be a good thing? How many think, love, joy, how many think having a little more joy in our life would be a good thing? Like some of us, like, and I just say this graciously, some of us, we can be a little bit of a Debbie Downer at times. Not recognizing that, you know what, really, every day is a gift from God. And yes, there are hard moments in this life that we go through. Yet there is still good that is manifest. And our joy rests in the fact that God is at work, even in the mess, to create something good. And so we stop and we rejoice in the goodness of our God. How many in our lives would say, boy, wouldn't it be great to have a little more fruit of peace? Oh my goodness, the idea of wholeness, the idea of like the minimizing of strife, like, oh my, wouldn't that be great? Go through the whole list. You see, we have to begin to plan the garden. What fruit, what harvest do you want to see manifest in your life? Because the fruit you want determines the seed you sow. And if you haven't identified the fruit, how will you know what seed you should sow? So think about your life right now. Just think about one situation in your life that you're going, you know what? This is a situation in my life where I need it to be better. Like I look and I go, you know what? Yeah, there may be some good there, but there needs to be more good. This is one. It may be an area that's kind of resounding for you because of conflict or uncertainty. Just what is that area of your life? Just one area that you're like going, you know what? There needs to be more good. And what is that good? And it may be for you, I need some peace. It may be for some, you're like, I just need some hope. It may be for some, it may be, you know, like I just need a sense of well-being. Whatever it is. And so you begin to say, if that's the fruit, then the question is what seed needs to be sown? So we have to embrace a life of faith. Secondly, we have to plant our gardens. And then we have to begin to sow good seed daily. Like, how many know that if you want peace in your future, you actually have to begin to sow peace today? Just because you sow peace doesn't mean you get the harvest right now, but if you will sow peace and keep sowing peace, you know what you'll get in the future? More peace. So I was listening to this one. I'm listening to audiobooks as I drive back and forth, and so I'm reading a book, and they're talking about the power of the smile. Okay, I want you to turn to your neighbor real quick and just smile. Okay, turn to your neighbor and smile. Come on. Toothy grins. See, I don't care whether you feel like it or not, just turn to your neighbor and begin to smile. Okay? Now, what's happened in the room when I just said smile, turn to someone and smile? What happened in the room? Changed the atmosphere. because your activity actually sowed a seed, and you began to experience a harvest. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you feel like smiling or not. Did you know this? Like, this is scientifically proven that even if you're having bad moments and bad days, you face people with a smile, it will begin to change your heart, your attitude, your perspective on the world. Why? Because you're sowing a smile, and all of a sudden you begin to reap the benefits of that smile. And if you do it, regardless of whether you feel it or not, all of a sudden you'll find out it will begin to change your feeling. And this is why so many times people yield their lives to the feelings that they have. I'm afraid, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm lonely. And they lean into that stuff in such a way that it often compounds it and often puts them in a place where it creates regret in their life. And what we have to do is we have to say, okay, what's the harvest I want to reap? And then begin to sow it. This I think, is so important. Another example. Did you know that your words are shaping the world you're in? Did you know if you talk bad about your spouse, it will actually cause your marriage to degrade? If you talk bad about your children, it causes that relationship to degrade because our words are powerful. This is what Proverbs says. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Okay? If you think about how God makes a world, how does he do it? Through the word. And God said, "Let there be light." He began to speak, and the world was created. The environment that you're living in is a reflection of the words that you've been speaking. And many times, what is motivating our speaking is the emotion, the demand of the emotion in the now. I'm angry, and so I speak. And how many know that when you're angry and you speak, you plant a seed? Some of you know this because you grew up and there were people in your world who, when anger and hostility arose, they said things to you, and that has borrowed into your heart. And there are times that you will hear those words repeated. You will hear words like, "You're not good enough. You're stupid. I don't love you. You're worthless." And that seed begins to grow. And for some, it begins to flourish and becomes bitterness and resentment because of the word that is spoken. You see, if we're going to get a better tomorrow, we actually have to sow better seeds. And that means that we have to be mindful about our words, our attitudes, our actions, and our interactions. Because God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And just so you know, like, this is, you want to hear a terrible verse from Matthew, and it's what Jesus said. And how many know there's times Jesus says some things you're like, ugh! You know what he says? That you will give an account for every careless word that is spoken. Ultimately, it means this: you are responsible for your words. It doesn't matter if there was like tension and demand and there was like, you know, hostility. You are accountable for your words. He'll go on to say this: by your words you will be acquitted, by your words you will be condemned. Because our words matter. You want a better tomorrow? You actually have to begin to sow good seed today, and that includes what you're saying. Now, whenever I share stuff like this, people just, they begin to like, oh, crud. Because you know there's stuff you've said. For some of you, it's what you regret saying. And this is why we need the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you know what the gospel of Jesus Christ does is it's in his presence we can begin to find forgiveness and we can begin to find separation so that our future doesn't have to look like our past. If we want to see a better tomorrow, we have to embrace a life of faith. We have to plant our gardens, and we have to sow good seed daily. And then, as we sow, don't give up. Don't give up. I have found, I actually like to garden. I don't do it enough. It's like fishing. I like to fish. I don't do it enough. But this is what I've come to know about gardening. Gardening is a learning process. Like, there's so much learning that takes place. It requires, gardening requires work, evaluation, and adjustment. And it's something that we have to keep doing, because if we're going to sow good seed, then what we have to do continually is we have to do the work, we have to evaluate, and we have to adjust. And ultimately, what we're doing is we are partnering with the Holy Spirit to see goodness manifest in our lives. Okay, as I close, Pastor Duane, you can come on up. Rachel, thank you. She's coming too. How many want a better tomorrow? Hey, guess what? A better tomorrow begins today. A better tomorrow begins today. See, this is what I think is the good news of the gospel. Hey, you know what? We can have a better tomorrow. And we don't have to wait. Like, Jesus is like, listen, I want to begin it in your life today. And it'll begin. It begins as a seed. It's something that we have to choose to do every day. God, I pray today that the seed I'm sowing will produce a better tomorrow. And I think we all have to get clear on the harvest we're trying to reap. Like I asked you earlier, think about that area in your life, that one area you're like going, oh my goodness, this is an area where I know it needs to be better. And I said, well, what is the fruit that you want? What is the harvest? Well, because of Jesus, we can have a better tomorrow. And so we have to begin to ask, okay, so what seed do I need to sow? Don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So one person said, it's attributed to a whole bunch of people, that says a definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Yeah, listen, dude, that was good. Heard the echo. There's a part that what Jesus calls us to is something different. Like, and this is why this transformation, the seed sowing, is actually a reflection of a relationship that happens in and through and with Jesus Christ. It's not just about, hey, I'm going to try and make this better myself. It's the fact that we need God to do something in us that absolutely begins new beginnings so we can experience something better. And we need Jesus. We want the better. The question is will we believe for the better? Will we begin to sow the better? Will we continue to sow the good in our relationships with our spouses, with our children, in the work that we do, in our finances? Will we sow the good with our words, with our attitudes, with our actions, with our interactions? Will we sow the good? You see, the better tomorrow begins today. I want you to know I am believing with you for something better. I'm believing with you. And I want you to know we have to keep sowing even when our emotions get a little hijacked. It's okay to have emotion in the car. It's not okay to have it drive. Like, you need to be aware of who's in the car. You need to be aware in your own life when you're feeling that frustrated, angry, tired, when you're mad, whatever it may be. You need to be aware of what's in the car, but that doesn't mean you have to let it drive. Instead, what you say is, Lord, I want your way to guide my way. I want to do the things that you've called me to do, because in doing those things, good will manifest itself in greater ways in my life, in my family, and in my world. May we be people who trust Jesus for a better tomorrow. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. Lord, I recognize that your word calls us to things that are beyond where we're at. Lord, you see the things we struggle with. You see the areas where we need your grace poured out. God, you see those areas in our life where we are struggling, where we are longing for something better. Lord, you know the demands of our heart, of our emotion. You know the cravings of the flesh. Lord, I thank you that you call us to something higher and greater. And God, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you to empower us, to direct us, to lead us toward that which is good. Lord, I pray that the testimony of our lives would not be about our intentions, but God, would be a testimony of our good works that were done for your glory. Lord, I thank you that it is you who saves us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us follow you well, that your goodness might be seen in and through our lives. And just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many would just simply say, in the area that I am struggling with, you're going to choose to sow good today. You're going to sow good seed today. If that's you, would you raise your hand? See those hands. Lord, you see these hands and you see these hearts. You see every dream. You see every hope. And God, I pray that you would grant strength, courage, tenacity, to sow the seed, to produce the harvest, that they might know a better tomorrow. Bless them as they begin today. In Jesus' name.